This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap pod for this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. Back at it again. Two nights in a row. Greg, what up?
Yeah, back at it again. Better, much smoother start today, Rick. So yes, that was great. We're off on the right foot.
You know, we've probably done, I don't know, a couple hundred of these, and I had a little balk last night, but we were able to figure it out. And, technical. You know, that can be as expected, right? Yeah, I blame it on technology. Certainly not my fault at all.
Look, your percentages are on fire.
I've got a good batting average. And speaking of batting averages, there's a new podcast joining the CBS Sports family. And for years, it's Fantasy Baseball Today that has been delivering league-winning analysis and advice as part of the CBS Sports Podcasting Network. But now, the team is coming at you fast with a brand new feed. And don't worry, the old one will stay the same. And it's Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 podcast. It's your audio outlet for fantasy news and advice in 5 minutes or fewer. It'll feature familiar names like Frank Stamfels, Scott White, and Chris Towers as they break down what matters most to help you win your league in a quick hitting format. It's available first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, your smart speakers, and anywhere else podcasts are found. Greg, the leaderboard, looking good still. We are 2 rounds in. We're 36 holes in, and Bay Hill, it claimed some victims on Friday, but also there were some pretty low scores out there. So all in all, before we jump into the leaderboard, this course doing everything we expected it to.
I'm very interested to see what's going to happen over the weekend. Today there was very little wind, but still the setup is it's challenging. You miss fairways, you get penalized. The ball is moving when it gets on the green, which is really fun to watch. And there's plenty of water out there that we're not missing any in that department. So it's been really fun to see. And I can't wait to see what the weather brings. There's some storms expected. Are we going to get rain? Is that going to soften it up? But the wind's also supposed to pick up. So the weather in Florida is so interesting because you can get heavy rain really quick and it can dry out really quick too. So I don't know what we're going to get through the weekend. I'm expecting maybe higher winds, but I don't think the course is going to get as firm as last year. What are you thinking about the course, Rick?
No, I don't think it can get as firm, especially if we get the rain that they're kind of expecting here. And the winds are going to make it interesting, though, assuming they come through. I mean, the other thing about Florida weather is I feel like it can change in an instant and you never really know what you're going to get. So we'll see, because you could certainly be on the wrong end of a draw here. But Corey Connors, through 18 holes, was tied for the lead. Through 36, he's got the solo lead. I thought this was a very impressive 69 that he shot on Friday, because as we know, Greg, it's difficult to follow up a really good round with another good one, and he is just leaning heavy on the approach game, and he's doing the one magical thing for Corey Connors, which is rolling in putts. He's gained over 4 strokes on the field. That is a deadly combination if you're if you are as good of a ball striker as Corey Connors is.
Yeah, and even when, there were some tough moments for him today, and he definitely missed his fair share. He hit 10 greens. But he's still, because of yesterday's performance, he's still, I guess he's in second total for the week now. But today wasn't quite as good with the approach game, but he was able to save it almost every time. I mean, 7 of 8 in scrambling, and he is gaining around the green. So he's doing the things that he struggles with on a regular basis very well, and that's exactly why you're seeing him on top of the leaderboard.
A somewhat familiar name at Bay Hill. I'll get to a bigger one in a second, but Party Marty Laird in solo second, thanks to a Friday 67. He won this event in 2011. He talked in his post-round interview about the good vibes that he has here, and almost to a man, Greg, and Laird said it as well. He said it's all about the driver. It's all about getting in the position off the tee. We heard that a lot in post-round interviews over the course of the first 2 days. Martin Laird has injected himself back onto the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, and he hit a lot of fairways today, hit 10 of 14 fairways, which was really nice for him. It gives you a lot of opportunities. It's not like the rough is so thick where you can't advance the ball. You can advance it. It's not like some U.S. Opens that we've seen, but it becomes really difficult to stop the ball on the green. And that's where the line, when you're going to score, is so interesting. Because if you're in the fairway, you can stop it near some of these hole locations. It's still bouncing a little bit. But when you get into the rough, it seems to be running through if you even get it to the green. So giving himself that many opportunities with some great driving allowed him to hit 15 of 18 greens, which was very helpful for him. And when you only have to scramble, you know, three times, four times out there, it's a big advantage. So it makes the round a lot less stressful. And that's what we saw out of, as Jacob says, the ultimate popper.
I was just going to give Jacob credit for that. Before we went hot, producer Jacob correctly identified Martin Laird as the ultimate popper for winning Shriner. He either wins or misses the cut. This guy's unbelievable. So I guess maybe he wins this week. It's over. Shut it down. We don't have to go any further.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he definitely has done it when he's got the opportunity. Four wins on the PGA Tour in his career. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. He's a really good driver of the ball. What I do think is going to happen, Rick, I foresee the winner of this event having a great driving performance down the stretch. And if it's a Rory or Bryson or someone like that, we may see me or Jordan. Jeez, we may see something different. But I kind of think you may see somebody hit 13 of 14 fairways or 12 of 14 fairways both days over the weekend. And they're just going to give themselves a lot of opportunities.
Well, one of those candidates to do just that is Victor Hovland, who followed up his Thursday 69 with a Friday 68. He's going to be two shots back. He's 7 under par. We've got a Justin Ray stat here. So Victor Hovland has 37 birdies or better in his last 6 rounds after the 7 birdies he made today on Friday. That's 34% of the holes he has played in that span. I'm no math major, Greg, but if you birdie or better 34% of your holes on the PGA Tour, you are going to find a heck of a lot of success.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he does. So it's just awesome to watch. He's so aggressive. He hits it at all the flags all the time. It's awesome. And he should, because he knows. And so he was talking, I heard an interview from him yesterday, earlier this morning. I was listening to it, and he was talking about his work with his coach, Jeff Smith, who is a stats guy, just like he's a stats guy. And so they have this kind of relationship where they're looking at numbers, and it gives you the freedom to go out there and play aggressive when you know that the numbers back it up. It doesn't feel like I'm making a bad decision here. It gives you freedom to play aggressive. Okay, I want to hit it at that flag. And yeah, the numbers say I should hit it at that flag, or I should hit driver here. It's a good thing to hit driver here, so I'm going to. And it breeds confidence. And that's exactly what you're seeing out of Victor Hovland. The guy's on fire. And then, Rick, what we talked about yesterday, this is my favorite element of him and why I think this streak can continue. He has the short game right now to back it up. I mean, he's 18th around the green today, 20th in putting. And this is a guy who's notoriously bad around the greens, and he's quite good now. So, I mean, maybe good is he's adequate, and right. you don't fear like he's going to scull it into the lake behind the green, the data lake. So
the data lake, which is quite sizable, I hope. The data lake. Yeah, it is funny. I mean, Victor Hovland, and I think I heard either the same interview that you did or another one where they're all in on strokes gained. You know, it is not rubbish. He is a PGA Tour player using it. I mean, they're all in on it. He knows his stats, and he's working on everything he can to improve them. Rory McIlroy had a share of the 18-hole lead. He's going to start the weekend two shots back of Corey Connors after firing a 71 on Friday. The putter cooperating in a big way for Rory. Still a bit weird, a bit awkward with the approach game. We saw him on number 6 take an unbelievably aggressive line, missed the green with like a wedge in his hand. Now, I think he mentioned that he might have had mud on his ball, but like that's the stuff where you're Rory. We got a Siwoo drop there. Producer Jacob can't even wait. It is Mudball. The wrong one. There we
okay,
go.
Okay, that's the one.
I was wondering where he was going with that. I'm like, Siwoo, like, withdrew from this event. I'm not sure what's happening here.
I got to do a better job listening.
But Rory still hampered by his approach game. And I guess that is obvious. That's obviously a negative. But the positive is he's going to enter the weekend just two shots back.
Right. And that's a scary sight if you're Corey Connors, if you're Martin Laird. You have Rory McIlroy right there hanging on, and he's putting great. So I get the weakness for Rory McIlroy has been the putting. I know, Rick, we've talked about the approach game struggling, but he's putting great so far this week. He was third in round one. He was 18th in round two. He's first for the week in strokes game putting. And let me say that again. Rory McIlroy is first for the week in strokes game putting. That is something to be feared. But I thought the difficulty today kind of came from off the tee. He was missing some out to the right, and that can happen to Rory where he gets a little bit of a case of the blocks going. Good news is I think that's recoverable for a guy like him. One, I think he can fix it, and I think he can have a better driving weekend. But two, when he does that, I think that will help his iron game. See, when Rory misses out to the right, Rick, he gets his club a little bit underneath too much. He starts coming too much from the inside, and that also has a negative effect on iron play and wedge play. So as he starts to work a little more on top of it, which I thought watching him yesterday, he was a little more on top of it than he was today. When he does that, you're going to see a much better iron play as well.
To add a little bit of statistical context, Justin Ray notes that Rory McIlroy has led a PGA Tour event in strokes gained putting once over the course of an entire week. It was his win here at Bay Hill in 2018. So not only does he know these greens, does he like them, but might be a little bit of symmetry come Sunday evening. Yeah.
We'll see. That gets back to what we said about those Florida greens, right? They're a little easier. Rory is definitely more comfortable on them, but they're not as slopey. So I think that really helps him here.
Bryson DeChambeau. We've got to talk about Bryson. He shoots a 1-under 71, same score as Rory on Friday. He's 6 under par, so he's going to be 3 shots back. But everyone tuned in for when he stepped up to the tee box on number 6, the par 5. Greg, and I want to get your take on this because I tweeted this out earlier today, and people either seem to love this take or hate this take. So let's see where you stand on it. I think Bryson cares most about the illusion of being able to drive a par 5. Now, if he actually tries it and can't do it, that illusion is shattered. It's bad for the brand. So I don't think under almost any circumstance we will see Bryson attempt to drive the 6th green.
I find it kind of hard to say that it's a good idea, right? I don't think it's a good idea. So I'm very, very confused on this because what I know about Bryson, this whole distance thing was for a purpose, right? It's like what we talked about with Victor Hovland. They know he basically figured out mathematically what the formula was to success and to improve and what he needed to do. He needed to get longer. So he went into the gym and things got a little crazy there, but he figured out what he needed to do. And then he figured out how to do it. And everything that he does along the way is extremely, it is to the point. There's a reason for it. There's a statistical, a numbers reason for everything he does. And for me to think that he would go for that green, he would have to have a reason and a really good one to say, yeah, it's worth it. But what he says and the way he speaks, it seems like your point, Rick, it seems like he wants you to think that he can go for it. And he's like pulling an iron out of the bag, like joking with the fans. And
that's the
he's
thing.
Stirring it up, right?
That's the thing. I've never seen a guy step onto a tee box and he's looking around. And he's checking the wind and he's throwing his arms up and he's going, well, if it's coming in this way, if it's going out that way, like, you know what I mean? Like it was almost like a WWE performance when he stepped on the 6th tee box. And then he finally, he sighs and he's got to just hit driver and he's got to, you know, move it, take it over to the right and not attempt this thing. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. It's a spectacle to watch. And I think he's playing it up, right? It's like Ben Hogan saying he has a secret, just building the mystery. And the secret is just hit balls for 11 hours a day or whatever. Right. I don't know.
Right.
But there's still mystery going on about that. But that's what he's doing here with number 6. And I don't think he's ever going to go for it. Right. Why would you have, if he really came here with the idea that he was going to do that, he has a driver at home that he can do that with easily. Right. Oh, if I'm 195, right. I can carry it easily. but I'm at 190 with this driver. It's a little heavier, a little more spin, right? It's at 3,000. So there's a it's just because of the driver I have in my bag this week. I can't do it.
But I could definitely do it. Don't you forget.
Yeah. Right. So it seems like a game off the course. I don't think he's going to do it on the course. I agree with you, Rick.
And for the record, I don't think he should. There's no reason for him to, but I just think that it has turned into this.
It's OB. If you go for that, it's a force carry over OB, and you're not going to hold the green. So, and you can hit a driver, you can hit a 3-wood and an iron into the green. It should be, you play it the right way. I know he made 5 today, but it should be an easy 4.
Another week, another Jordan Spieth sighting. Jordan Spieth is just 4 shots back. He's in a tie for 7th heading into the weekend. And Greg, we didn't have great things to say about Jordan Spieth this week. We were very much concerned about the way his driver would cooperate around Bay Hill, but he's driving it well. He's a slight positive for the week. He's gaining off the tee. This is the recipe for really, really good Jordan Spieth success that, of course, I did not see coming based on his current 191st ranking in the stat.
Right. And you think that, this is the kind of place where boring golf wins, right? The fairway, the green, the chipping away at it that way. That's what wins here. That's what gets it done at Bay Hill. Not that Tiger or Rory or any of them are boring players, but it's the strategy. They've been talking about it with Rory, how Tiger always hit less than driver off the tee here, and you plot your way around. And Jordan is a spray. He's been spraying the ball, but not this week. And he's eliminated a single shot. He seems to have eliminated a big miss to the right, which has been hugely beneficial. And I think the key to this comeback, I think it's the number one key to the comeback, is getting rid of that shot way right. And all of a sudden, you're seeing a guy who has a great short game. All that stuff can come to life because he's getting it somewhat in play off the tee. The up and down on 18 was...
That was stupid. It was stupid.
Yeah, it was so good.
He was above the bunker, downhill, out of the rough, on everything's running away from you. He lands it softly, taps it in for par, moves on one of the hardest holes on the golf course. It was awesome.
It had just a little bit of, even coming out of the rough, just that little bit of check, and then it trickles, and it was gorgeous. My favorite shot I've seen so far this week.
And we would be very disingenuous. So here's what I think the comp is, right? So when we say, if Colin Morikawa was a 0 putter, he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments, right? It's kind of the same with Spieth. If Spieth is a 0 driver, he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments, right? Because that's the thing that has kept him in so much trouble.
Yeah, he's got to just keep it within the... It's not even about fairways. He hit 9 of them today, which is a great sign. He's got to keep it within the bunkers, as I say. Like you miss into a fairway bunker or a little bit into the rough, Jordan Spieth can play. He can figure out how to score. If he's missing into the trees and into the woods here, because oftentimes there's water there as well, that's when it gets problematic for him. So, look, we said it yesterday, Rick. He's the guy that's kind of anti-stat. He can overcome the stat. He's like Patrick Reed playing at Kapalua, where it's a bomber's course, but Patrick Reed can win there because he just knows how to get it done. Jordan knows how to get it done. So he's back.
He's back, baby. 36 holes to go. Let's pull up the betting boards. Thanks to our friends over at William Hill. Rory McIlroy, of course, your favorite. He's 2 shots back. He's 3.5-1. Victor Hovland, same score, but he's 4.5-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 3 back. He's 6-1. And Corey Connors, our leader, 1 shot clear of the rest of the field, is 6.5-1. So, Greg, those are your single-digit golfers. Anything stand out to you before we go to the double-digit guys?
Well, Victor Hovland, I would stick with him from yesterday. He's still my guy. I think the improvement in the short game for him and the ability to tee to green is elite. And I think when he gets near the lead on Sunday, he'll continue to be aggressive. And that's what you have to do. There's no back down in him. He's not going to have the slow starting Sunday. He's going to be aggressive, and you'll know very quickly how that round goes.
Yeah, he's absolutely feeling it. And of course, William Hill just closed. They're going to redo the odds on me right now, so I'm refreshing. But I did see guys like, Sung Jae Im, Paul Casey, Justin Rose, and Jordan Spieth kind of in that next chase pack. Sung Jae arguably hasn't had like the great round yet. He shot 69-70, kind of the same thing with Paul Casey. I think there could be some noise made from a couple of guys further down the board here.
Yeah, Sungjae is easy to get behind. All of his success here and in Florida in general, I think Sungjae is a nice pick. But Paul Casey is the guy I'm looking at. He hasn't been driving it very well, right? But he's leading the field in strokes gained approach the green for the week. And he's having a nice putting tournament. It's not great, but it's a nice putting tournament. And looking at his form coming in, he's just been fantastic. So I think Paul Casey's going to have an improved weekend of driving of the golf ball, and I think he's just going to give himself more birdie looks than anybody else. And I'm not saying I think Victor Hovland's going to win this tournament, but I think that Paul Casey would be the next guy from that chase pack that I'd go with.
16-1 for both Sungjae Im and Paul Casey. So we'll keep an eye on this as everything shapes up over the course of the next couple of days. But I think that'll do it, Greg. Fun as always, my man.
As always. Who do you like? Who do you think's going to win?
I think if you made me put money on it, if you made me put money on it, Hovland's the only guy that I would bet in the singles. I like that at 4.5. I agree. Like we've talked about Rory, you know, struggling on Sundays. Victor's got that look, man, and he's got that swag, and he's just going to throw darts all week long. If you wanted me to go down a little bit further, you know, I'm a bit biased on Lonto, 16-1. I think this would be a really tough field for Lonto to overcome. Rory, Victor, Bryson, Casey. I think it would be, and 16-1 is not long enough, but his skill set, the two things that he has, the irons and the putter, long term, you know, it is what it is, but like in the real short term, that's the stuff that gets you scorching hot for a round or two at a time. And if it all falls in place, like he can win a golf tournament like he did at Houston a few years back. But I thought 16-1 was a little short.
Great right now.
Yeah. Love if he was like 25, I would have probably bid on it, but that's
right. Hey, by the way, great job in your DFS stuff so far this week. Our guys are loaded on top of the board. So shout out.
We've got a sweat there. We've got some sweats over the course of the next couple of days. So fingers crossed or holding thumbs, as Mark would say. Thank you to producer Jacob for putting all this together. Thank you to Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.